This is Evenings with Nick Healy on ABC Radio.
Now, I said I wanted to talk a little bit of art. In fact, I actually want to introduce you to a Dubbo-based artist called Kim Goldsmith. Now, for years now, Kim has been creating a wide array of art that explores, in many ways, regional and rural areas, the kind of complexities of the environment and some of those complexities that might even escape the people who call that part of Australia home. Now, she's recently wrapped up in a residency that is just a little bit different to anything I have actually encountered before, and I wanted you to hear about it. And, Kim, good evening to you, and thank you for actually coming in to have a chat.
Oh, my pleasure. Good evening.
Now, I've heard about some fascinatingly unusual residencies in my time. I've met artists in residence, who've worked with writers' workshops, obviously. I've met some people who worked out of an abandoned pearl village in the middle of WA. But you are the first person I've met who's been an artist in residence for caves, for Wellington Caves. What, about 40 minutes drive down the road from here?
Yeah.
How did that come about and what have you been doing?
Yeah, well, I have to say up front, I wasn't actually living in caves.
Which, I got to admit, when you first told me about this, I was like, you're going to be living in a cave. You know, made you sound like a biblical eremite or something.
No. There is a caravan park at the Wellington Caves complex. So I actually had a motel room.
Fine.
But I've just finished 10 days there. And look, it is a unique residency idea. And I was piloting it for Dubbo Regional Council. So it's part of a statewide project that is called Regional Futures, and Dubbo Regional Council are a partner in that project. And so they have commissioned me to be part of Regional Futures, and they said, well, while you're at it, would you like to see what a residency at Wellington Caves might be like? So I said, yeah, sure. I think the last residency I did was... Actually, no, the last residency I did was just near Wyangala Dam at the Corridor Project, but the one before that was actually in the far north of Iceland, so...
Yeah, wow. Wow.
Yeah. So I'm used to kind of isolated regional environments. And Wellington Caves, as you said, is only just down the road. And that was a little bit weird because to go into a residency, you've got to kind of have a clear mind. Mm. You're trying to leave your daily life behind and focus on your practice and your creative output. And sometimes you need to travel a bit to actually clear your head before you get into a residency.
Like Iceland.
And a 45-minute trip down the road sometimes just doesn't cut it. But look, I've just finished 10 days and I have to say by the time I got to my second long weekend, so I sort of split it up into three long weekends, I really was very much focused on what I was there to do. And the caves are really fascinating, internationally significant site. So there's a lot to explore.
Tell me, what's the aim of Regional Futures? It sounds like a fascinating project overall.
It's an initiative, the Regional Arts Network, which is funded by the state government through Create New South Wales. And it's essentially commissioning artists from across New South Wales through each of the regional arts development organisations, of which there are now 15, to explore what the future of our regions might be like. And so you can go down whatever path you like with that exploration. I've stuck with pretty much the process I've developed over several years now of looking at some of those hidden narratives within our regions and trying to look at the issues through a new lens. And I use sound largely to do that, although I do work in video and I write as well. But I really wanted to focus on sound in this particular project. Arana Arts has got a cross-regional conversation going with Arts Mid-North Coast.
Oh.
So there's four of us across both of those regions, two in each region, who are having regular conversations pretty much on a weekly basis about what the issues are, who are the communities that are going to be impacted by this future. Now, here in the Central West, we're in a transition phase to renewable energy because we are in a renewable energy zone. In fact, it was the first one established in Australia. And so one of those conversations going on the ground is, are renewables worth it? Are they really better than what we're currently doing? What sort of impact are they having on our landscape? How will they impact food and fibre production? Because we have traditionally been a food and fibre hub for Australia. We feed urban communities and we feed coastal areas, and we're going to become the power station for those areas of the future. So these renewable energy zones are being touted as future power stations.
Interesting. So it's, when we talk about the future, especially in regional areas, we often talk to economists, you know, statisticians. We try to imagine what populations will look like. We don't often talk to artists and say, well, tell us what you see. And it's a perspective that strikes me we've been missing for a very long time in many of our conversations about the future of this whole country.
Look, I think it's interesting because artists tend to ask, they're not shy about asking questions in a lot of cases, and they'll ask the questions that nobody else has thought of. And we spoke to a farming family the first weekend that I was in residence at Wellington Caves, and the two coastal artists came over for that weekend.
Oh, wow.
To learn more about this region and to get a feel for what the issues were here. And I introduced them to a farming family who are probably in the top 10% of farming enterprises, and think big. And interestingly, the feedback that they gave us from that conversation was that they learnt something from the questions we were asking.
Ah.
So we were looking at what they were doing through a new lens. And I come from a rural and natural resource background as well. So, you know, as some people know, I'm an ex-ABC rural reporter. I also farmed through the Millennium Drought. Mm. I grew up on a farm. So I know the region and I know those issues intimately. But what I have found over the 20-odd years that I've been an artist as well is that I get to ask the hard questions that nobody else is game to ask, because I can present back that information in a form that's not quite as in your face, but still allows you to reflect back what other people have told you or your interpretation of that, so that it provokes a conversation.
And as you said, that different lens, you know, changing perspectives is so essential as we look towards what changes we need to have as the future comes towards us.
Some of the questions are very big and there is no clear-cut solution. And there's a lot of antagonism in rural and regional communities about that future and sharing particularly our natural resources. And I just don't see how we're ever going to agree on what that future can be unless we shake it up, clear the decks, and look at these things from a new perspective. And bring the other really important thing about that is that artists tend to bring new voices to the table. We invite people in who you don't normally hear from. And that's something that I'm really keen to do. And for me, a large part of that is actually giving a voice to the environment. So through my sound work, I can bring some of those hidden sounds that we just never hear without specialist equipment, or I can bring some of that imagery through an underwater camera, for example, that allows people to see a landscape that they're so familiar with from a new perspective.
The soundscapes are particularly fascinating to me from an environmental point of view because, you know, we often talk about nature in terms of how we see it, how we perceive it, how we even, you know, smell it. We don't often think about the sounds that are there necessarily. When we do, we isolate it. You know, we say, oh, that bird song's beautiful. You know, that babbling brook sounds wonderful. But you go beyond all of that. And as you pointed out, you kind of grab those hidden sounds to a large degree.
Yeah, so I'm using hydrophones, contact microphones. I've just recently purchased a geophone, which...
Never even heard of that.
It's made in Slovakia. And it's a limited edition microphone, and it's my pride and joy. And basically, it's a contact mic that's adapted from the sort of equipment that you might listen to seismic vibrations with.
Right.
But it has a probe on the end of it, which means I can stick it in the ground or at the base of a tree or at the base of a bridge, and it will pick up the vibrations carrying through that. So I can actually hear the gurgling of a massive river red gum on the edge of the river through this geophone. And it's funny, people say to me, oh, what do you do as an artist? And I go, I raise eyebrows, because often I'm the woman squatting out in the open with a microphone stuck in the base of a tree that no one can see, of course, so you can imagine. It does raise a few eyebrows at times, but I'm just fascinated by those internal workings of our landscape, and that's what I hope to bring out in my work. So quite often I will record a lot of these sounds in isolation, and then I remix them, compressing time into these multi-track soundscapes. So, for example, I've got works going out to the Window on the Wetlands Centre at Warren this Thursday for the show to open on Friday. And there's a series of soundscapes in that exhibition that talk about, well, it's the story of water returning to the Macquarie Marshes. And those, each of those soundscapes tells a story about each stage of that. So the drought, the fire, the return of water, the return of life. And there's actually a track in there that mixes some spoken word voices from Marsh's communities about their hopes for the future and their connection with that environment. But those, some of those soundscapes are 24 tracks deep.
Wow.
And they run for about, you know, anywhere between 5 to 8 minutes. But they're about there's about 24 different tracks in some of those soundscapes. And they've been recorded over sometimes months at multiple times through the day. And then I rebuild them into these compressed time narratives.
My name is Nick Healy. You are listening to me right across ABC. Sydney, Canberra, right across New South Wales as well. We've got about 12 minutes until 10 o'clock. And my guest is Kim Goldsmith. And Kim, I'm glad you mentioned the Macquarie Marshes, because I wanted to talk to you about a project that I know ate a large amount of time for you recently, called Mosses and Marshes.
Yes, we're into year 4, I think.
Tell me, because it's an international collaboration.
I wrote the brief for the project while I was in Iceland doing that residency in mid-2019. We started talking about it. I wrote the brief while I was over there, and then we basically had to start working out how we were going to do it. So I'm collaborating with an artist in the UK called Andrew Howe, who lives not far from Ramsar-listed peat bogs on the England-Wales border. Mm. So the Fens, Wicksall and Bettisfield mosses. And he knew that I had a Ramsar-listed wetland not far from me, which is all a bit relative, really, because when I say not far from me, that's still a 600-kilometre round trip.
It is.
So his was like 30 minutes down the road. So when I go out to the marshes, it's kind of, I'm there for a good day, and I have camped overnight in the marshes and spent long weekends there as well. But basically, we both wanted to explore those Ramsar-listed wetlands and look at what their future held and what the future held for the communities around those areas, because we've seen huge changes since colonisation in this country, and even in England with the peat cutting, those communities have basically been shut down, but you still have the remnants of those peat cutting communities living around the mosses. And so we started to interview communities in those areas and talk to them about the past and what their hopes were for the future. And then we had this massive public program that sort of hung off the works as well. So we've had two exhibitions in the UK. I had the first of the Australian exhibitions in Canberra at Easter. So that was at M16 Art Space. And then I have this great belief that when you're working in the regions, you need to take the work back to the regions. So the exhibition, including the UK component of it, went to Coonamble for a month in May, and now it's going to another Marshes community in Warren. So they'll be getting the digital works. But I'm doing a sound walk at the Tiger Bay wetlands right next to the WOW Centre in Warren on Saturday, and that will give people a little bit of an insight into what I was doing out in the Macquarie Marshes. It's still another 120-odd kilometres from Warren. So, you know, it's not just a quick trek up and back and then come back in time for opening drinks. So we're trying to sort of work a bit closer to home. And I'll be pulling out those specialist microphones and allowing people to hear the gurgling inside those trees beside the wetland for themselves, and to throw a hydrophone into the water and hear, you know, water bugs And, you know, the water boatmen, they're like the little underwater crickets. So I'm hoping if it doesn't pour rain again on Saturday, because every time I've tried to organise one of these events, we get rained out. Oh, it has been bad for
you,
hasn't it? Yeah. So, look, I'm prepared to, you know, just put on a waterproof coat and go for it on Saturday if everyone else is up for the job.
Yeah, back to Wellington Caves. What did you take away from it?
I think I learnt more about Wellington Caves in that last 10 days than I knew from 30 years living in this region. So it was a pretty intimate encounter with the history of Wellington Caves. And I also had the privilege of talking to two people there. I mean, the whole team at the caves are passionate, intelligent people who just love what they do there. But there were two people I spoke to in particular who just, their knowledge of the caves and the importance of the site in terms of being a snapshot into our past and our past climates, and their significance in terms of fossil discoveries. I mean, the first fossils were discovered in the 1830s.
Around that
there
area?
There are fossils from Wellington Caves in institutions around the world.
Wow.
And the Cathedral Cave, which is a remarkable space in terms of acoustics that I'm actually exploring as a performance space for down the track, it's got the largest stalagmite in the world, 15 metres high, 32 metres circumference around the base. And there is history written on the walls. In fact, there's a chamber in there where it's literally written on the walls because there's a bit of graffiti. And interestingly, they've decided not to remove that graffiti because it actually tells you about something in the cave's history, recent history, I have to add. But it's still being studied by universities. So there are paleontologists, there are groundwater specialists from the University of New South Wales, and I got to spend a day with one of the Professor Andy Baker, who has been studying the groundwater in the caves there for the last 12 years. And, you know, it's a site of scientific exploration. It's now a site of creative exploration. And I went down with one of the tours on Saturday afternoon, and it was just fascinating to hear when they turn all the lights off in the Cathedral Cave and then they just turn them on slowly one by one until the altar rock is all lit up. So this massive stalagmite column, and to hear the ahs and the oohs. And it was just, the acoustics in there are just amazing. So as a sound artist, that's what I'm listening for all the time. But I got to do recordings in the caves. I got to spend time with people who have incredible scientific brains and incredible knowledge about the past. And my big question for all of them is, what does it tell us about our future?
So, Kim, what is next, if you're able to tell me? What's the project you're working on? Have you got
Yes, we have a new project launching on Friday, and it's a bit closer to home. So it's about collecting river stories of the Wambal Macquarie River between Wellington and Narromine. And there's been some really interesting... I've been doing a little bit of research to get the ball rolling. And I'll just share one with you.
Please.
That came from the Bathurst Free Press and Mining Journal of 1892. And it says, on Saturday, while some gentlemen were shooting on the Macquarie River near Dundullamore, they heard a loud splash in the water and, looking, saw that something had jumped from the bank into the river. It was 3 or 4 feet long and had a head like a dog. They'd never seen anything like it before and probably will never again. We have now 3 bunyips vouched for on the Macquarie, one at Manoor, one at Ellenjarrah and one at Dundullamore.
Vouched for?
Vouch for. We have bunyips. And I've lived in this region all my life and never heard about bunyips on the Macquarie. So, look, that's just one example of the type of stories I'm hoping to flush out from the community over the next, I don't know, 5 months or so. But I'm also inviting other artists in on this project.
Oh,
so
wow.
The first month is actually going to be looking for a third artist to join, Milena Sallustio and myself. Milena's a Dubbo filmmaker and visual artist. And we're going to be doing an open-air lab on the Macquarie, on the river, hopefully on a warmer day than we've had today. And we're going to brainstorm what sort of things we can do with these stories that we collect about the river.
And Kim, just really quickly, before I let you go, if people want to come along on the weekend, you mentioned Window on the Wetlands, you'll be doing a bit of a wander around Tiger Bay. What's the plan?
So it starts at 2 p.m. on Saturday afternoon, and basically you've got to book in for the sound walk and RSVP for the opening. You just ring the Window.
Man.
So it starts at 2 p.m. on Saturday afternoon, and basically, you've got to book in for the sound walk and RSVP for the opening. You just ring the Window on the Wetlands Centre or find them on Facebook and message them.
And come along. And come you along. Mentioned you're looking at other artists for this project. How are you? Where are you looking to find them? Locally, obviously?
Yes, from Narromine, Dubbo or Wellington. And looking for someone who's perhaps a writer or a musician that can really sort of shake it up a bit.
Kim Goldsmith, this has been absolutely fascinating. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for letting us know about this, I think, brand new project. I don't think you've told anyone about this yet, have you?
No, top secret.
Top secret. Thank you so much. Dubbo artist Kim Goldsmith there with some of the incredible work she's been doing.